Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights, conversations exploring network transformation through interviews with industry experts.
Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights. I'm Allison Klein. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Martin Taylor, CTO of Metaswitch. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Martin, why don't you just start by telling us about Metaswitch and your company's role within the networking arena?
Okay, so Metaswitch is a UK-based company. We're a software developer. We've been working with network operators for the last 15 years on network transformation to voice over IP. In this change to a world where hardware and software are separated, we style ourselves as a network software provider, and that's to contrast us from the traditional vendors in this space, the network equipment providers. It's all about the software now.
When you look at voice over IP, where do you think we are within that technology transition, and how does that intersect with some of the broader network transitions to virtualized solutions?
People tend to think of voice over IP as a kind of done deal. We're sort of there. Yes, it's a technology that's been around a long time, but still the majority of voice around the world is handled on circuit switch networks, hasn't yet made that transition. So it's underway, more in the fixed network than mobile, but of course, you know, we all know voice over LTE is a really important trend now in the mobile space. But there are still many years to run, if you like, in the full transition to all real-time communications being carried on over IP. Network operators are obviously investing quite heavily. VoLTE is a big area of investment right now. And at the same time, they're looking at building out their networks in a virtualized way as opposed to with traditional boxes. And so VoLTE buildouts are particularly strong and virtualization playing together really well right now.
And when you look at the confluence of these two trends, what are the specific benefits that a virtualized networking solution brings to delivering VoIP to the masses?
I mean, I think virtualized is just a way better way of building networks than using proprietary boxes. The benefits of NFV are, I think, very well understood and widely rehearsed in terms of reduced operational cost, ability to scale rapidly, ability to innovate more rapidly. And I think those benefits apply just as much to real-time communication services, voice, video, instant messaging, as they do to really any other kind of network service.
Tell me a little bit about Metaswitch's product offering in this space, and what differentiates the different types of products that you bring to market?
So we have a range of virtualized network functions in and around the real-time communication space, or IMS, IP Multimedia Subsystem. And that includes an IMS core, which, by the way, we designed from the ground up for the cloud. So it's one of the world's first cloud-native virtualized network functions. We have telephony application servers for a range of different kinds of voice applications. We have session border controllers. We have media gateway controllers, media resource functions, all of the key building blocks that you need to do real-time voice video communications across IP networks.
What do you think is ahead for the networking industry on delivering virtual solutions? And we just talked about how voice over IP, a lot of people consider that just a done deal. It's still in early stages of deployment. Can you talk a little bit about the upcoming deployment curve for virtualized solutions?
Sure. Actually, virtualizing real-time communications is hard, particularly anything that's involved in the user play and the media flows. Processing media flows is very unlike IT workloads that people have traditionally virtualized. And there are kind of two aspects to that. I mean, one is doing stuff efficiently and with great performance and cost effectively on x86 hardware and not having to rely on proprietary hardware solutions to get performance. And then secondly, carrying that performance on x86 forward into a virtualized world, you know, where you've got to wrestle with some of the additional challenges that the virtualization brings in. Now, the big advantage that we have always had in this space is that we've never used proprietary hardware. We've always built our stuff to run on x86. Our session border controller, we built a data plane for x86 5-6 years ago. That's providing fabulous performance on x86, and we've been able to preserve that performance as we virtualize the SBC. That's given us a strong position in the industry and a really high profile.
You guys are part of the Network Builders program that Intel runs around this space. Can you tell me a little bit about why you chose to join Network Builders and the benefits you're receiving?
Network operators are on a steep learning curve around NFV, and they need all the help they can get in terms of sources of good technical information and education around the space. We look to Intel as a great source of information and support to the network operators as they tackle the whole problem of NFV generally, and therefore it's a program well worth supporting in our view.
The requirement for interoperability when you're dealing with content delivery within a carrier-grade environment is important when you move to open standards. What has your experience been in terms of driving interoperability of solutions, and what do you see the industry's need for focusing on this space moving forward?
clearly we're moving into a world where there's a platform, an NAV infrastructure, on top of which virtualized network functions are going to have to be running. We don't believe that rigid traditional standardization is going to really serve the industry well. And what's turning out to work perfectly fine is just a bunch of de facto standards that are largely already out there. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean that it's always a plug and play kind of situation. We normally need to do some onboarding process, particularly when it comes to the orchestration side. But generally, we have not found it difficult. We're experts at software portability. Our VNFs tend to just run on whatever the virtualization environment is. We might want to test to characterize performance, but we rarely have to change anything. It just works.
If you were talking to a group of comm service providers, what are the imperatives they need to be tracking to keep ahead of this technology curve?
I think we're starting to see some evolution in the virtualization space generally. We ourselves are very excited about the emergence of containers as a whole sort of second generation approach to virtualization. We're all on an enormous steep learning curve here. We see some network operators taking the view that they need to design in depth their complete environment before they make any real progress, and others who are more prepared to take some initial practical steps. It might seem like a bit of a leap into the unknown, but learning by doing is more effective than learning by paper studies.
Tell me more about the containers and why this is particularly relevant to the networking arena. We've heard a lot about microservice delivery applying to enterprise IT and driving more efficiency in the way that services are constructed and delivered. How does that apply to the network?
A lot of our customers are saying to us, we need you to deliver virtualized network functions according to a microservices architecture. And our response to that is, well, our most recent products are designed that way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have some more longer standing products that will take time to evolve in that direction. But it's certainly the right way to go. And when you look at the sort of history of virtualization, I think what we see is first generation virtualization is about taking legacy apps off of physical servers and running them in virtual machines, which is the comfortable home for them. But when you design services from the ground up specifically for a cloud environment with a microservices architecture, then actually a container approach is a better overall fit. It's a more efficient deployment environment for those kinds of applications. It lubricates the deployment process. It makes rapid innovation easier to accomplish in practice. Now, containers are not right for every different kind of virtualized network function. Right now, they are challenged as it relates to high-performance user plane functions. So I think what we're looking forward to is a heterogeneous environment where we're going to see virtual machines and containers playing alongside each other.
When it comes to Metaswitch's business, you guys have solutions in the marketplace. You've been here for a long time in terms of driving voice over IP. What can we expect from Metaswitch in the coming year?
One of the things that network operators are looking for out of NFV is the ability to engage with a more innovative, nimble, agile, software-centric ecosystem of vendors. And we fit into that category extremely well. For example, AT&T selected us as one of the first four domain 2.0 vendors that they announced back in 2014.
Nice.
And since then, we've been able to announce a first award within domain 2.0, virtual SBC for interconnect purposes. In historical times, that would have been a very difficult thing for AT&T to do, but they're looking to engage with players like us to help them move more rapidly, to bring in best-of-breed building blocks, if you like, for their networks of the future.
Fantastic. Well, Martin, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Can you provide a link of more information?
Visit our website, metaswitch.com. It's also worth looking at some of the open source projects that we're driving as Project Clearwater.org, which is our open source microservices-based IMS implementation, and Project Calico.org, which is a new approach to networking in the cloud, specifically oriented towards containers.
Thanks so much for being on the program today.
My pleasure.